does that sound? Test 1, 2.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, everybody. Rick Shields on the Eric Lang Show. Get ready. God, my levels are so hot today. How's that?
We started. Wow.
Here's your headphones. He didn't even put his headphones in. Sorry, I jumped the gun, maybe.
You did a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
But, you know, I think it's one of the things where you just want to get started. You just want to hear every little aspect of it. Because I hate on podcasts where it's like, you know, they did a long intro. And by the way, most of the time, everybody knows each other anyway. Everyone knows who you are, Rick.
I wouldn't say everyone.
Everybody does. I posted one photo of you last night, and everyone was like, Shieldsy, Rick, love him. Oh, my God. Ricky. No,
I messaged all my friends to message you. That's all it was. I've got a good hardcore 10 friends.
10
who,
good friends.
Yeah, yeah. Who, as soon as they see my name on something, they go, oh, we better do our bit.
Right.
We better make him look more popular than what he actually
so you
is.
Get, so you get 500,000 hits, divide those over 10 people.
Something like
that's pretty it's like your brother, because my joke is that the only people that listen to this are my parents,
and I don't think that's true, because I put a picture of you on last night of my Instagram, and I was like, do a podcast with Eric. So
really,
there are fans out there.
Did anyone tell you what they wanted me to ask you?
No. I didn't really respond to say we're doing one, because I knew time restrictions were,
it was tentative
today. Yeah, we're in the Isle of Man, which is a really random place to meet you anyway. So Eric invited me out here. We're doing some filming. We did some great filming last night.
Yeah.
And Eric's over here doing some more filming. It was like, Isle of Man's pretty close. I've never been here before.
Right.
Took half an hour from Manchester, and here we are.
Yeah, it's the fact that we're here is just extra weird.
Very strange. But we had the most, I'm sure we'll get into it, but the most incredible sunset possibly ever last night. On a golf course.
I mean, as a golfer, you've traveled the world, you've played a lot of golf. You get to see a lot of sunsets.
That topped it last night.
I was up there.
I'm just hoping. I created a couple of videos for my YouTube channel, introducing kind of Eric to my audience, and I just hope and pray that the camera didn't do a disservice
right
to the sunset.
You know, but it always does.
Let's hope not.
It always does.
I'm gonna edit it. I'm gonna make it more red. I'm gonna make it more extreme, because it was phenomenal. It really was.
It's so hard to capture all those things. And you know, for me, what was really funny is, well, we talked about this a little bit, but it was my first time. Well, first of all, welcome to the show, Rick Shields.
Thank you.
At Rick Shields PGA, you are. When people come up to you and they say you look like a pro golfer or something, what do they say to you when they don't quite know who you are?
I think. Well, they'll say, Who the hell are you, to start off with? No, right. So I'm a golf professional. I'm a golf coach is where I kind of really start, and that's right. My job, effectively.
And you're probably the most famous golf coach on YouTube.
You could say that.
And who's above you?
Nobody. Yeah, maybe.
Guy,
nobody.
Who's above him? Nobody.
No, there's a handful
of us.
Francesco? There's a handful of golf coaches who are doing content online and doing it, you know, we landed on YouTube at a good time.
Yeah.
And we were persistent and we carried on. So there's three or four channels who are smashing the way.
Yeah.
Coaching content, instructional content, reviews, course videos, journeys about getting better at golf. There's all different avenues now. And I think the main four or five channels have all kind of slotted in their own slot. And kind of, the last couple of years, my channel's gone bonkers. It's gone crazy.
You're like your own magazine.
Yeah.
You're like your own channel, quite literally. But beyond just like channel on YouTube, quote unquote, you actually are. There is enough content on your channel to basically keep anyone satisfied for how long?
Well,
2 months?
There's 1,500 videos on my channel.
Jesus.
I can't remember the stat, but it's something crazy. I think every day, something like, right in saying this, like 4 million minutes get watched every day.
What?
Let me get that fact. Let me get that. So I get about 4 million views a month on my channel.
Okay, Guy is looking it up right now. Yeah. Guy is Rick's right hand man.
Yeah, yeah, he's my brand manager.
He's your Stuart.
He's my Stuart. I was hoping to meet Stuart.
Do you guys play golf together?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played golf.
How many strokes do you give Guy?
You play off three.
Yeah.
So Guy plays off three. Okay. I actually played at his home course the other day. He won't like me telling this story. So he just joined the new golf course. He went, come on, Rick, come and play. I was like, okay, let's go and do a business meeting on the golf course. We played 9 holes. I've never played the golf course before, Eric.
Uh-huh. What,
it's his home course.
Even?
It's his home course.
2 under.
Listen, I lost count after I went one under. No, we played 9 holes. I was 1 under. I managed to take the win.
Right.
So I've got
But you
that.
Did match play.
Yeah. I'm a match play man.
We talked a bit about this last night. So about last night.
Yes.
Tell everybody at home who's listening to this podcast, fans of yours, you know, fans of mine who haven't seen this show that you're just starting.
Yes.
That we shot last night.
Yeah, so this is a new show, and it's my way of playing golf with interesting characters within the world of golf, you being one of them. You're my third episode.
I'm 30% so far.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just keep dwindling, though.
Well, you managed to do one thing that nobody's done yet. I did lose.
Offend more than two people.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a new show to introduce new, interesting people to my audience. You know, my YouTube audience is global, mainly US, though. I was saying last night, my audience is nearly 60% USA.
Why do you think that is?
More golfers.
Right.
Bigger country.
30,000 courses in the world, 18,000 in America.
There you go. That's probably why. California is my biggest spot, though.
Cali.
And you know what? I've only been once.
That's crazy to me.
I was there for 2 weeks for honeymoon, but I've only been to California once. But if someone said to me right now, you have to move to one place, it'd be San Diego.
Boom.
I love it.
It's so cool that you know that.
It was just that spot where me and my wife went on a honeymoon. We did a massive tour around the US. And San Diego, we're only there for like 3 days. But me and my wife were like, wow.
Right.
This is where we're going to call home. Whether we do, who knows? We've got kids now. I've got 2 kids and another one on the way. You know, set up businesses at home and stuff. So it might get a bit trickier, but I would never rule it out. But yeah, California is my...
But you're young. How old are you?
I am 32 in July.
You're thinking about that one.
Yeah, but come on, you lose count after what, 25?
Right. Well, you're also, you've got a lot of other ages in your life that you have to calculate now.
I've got enough pin numbers to try and remember, never mind an age.
Right. All I have to do is think about my dog's age, and that's a question mark anyway. Nobody knows.
Oh, every year is 7 years, isn't it?
Something like that.
So yeah, so I've got young fam, but long story short, a lot of my audience is US, and
I was trying to figure that out, though. Why do you think it is U.S.? Beyond just, I was thinking that your accent goes a long way in America.
It could do.
Maybe. I think you fulfill the Simon Cowell kind of like, you know, golf instructor.
Well, English guys seem to do great in the
U.S. They do well.
Certainly these days. Back in the day, not so much.
Yeah.
Now you've got, and I'm not comparing myself to these characters, but like you say, Simon Cowell smashed it.
Right.
Harry Styles seems to have smashed it.
Right.
Ed Sheeran,
yeah.
James Corden.
Well, you know, but mathematically, you're smarter than any other golf pro in America because of your accent.
Okay. Does that go a long way?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's that borderline where it's English, but it's not the Queen's English.
Yeah, what is your accent? It's Manchester.
Yeah, so I'm from the northwest of England. So,
but you have a posh Manchester accent.
I would say it's a neutral accent.
Neutral.
Yeah, so... I wouldn't say it's proper Manc.
Right, because Manc is a bit more like governor.
No, that's London.
That's London.
Yeah, Manc's a bit more like, I'm trying to think how I do now. Right, mate? No, it's a bit slang. It's almost, I can probably do Scouse better, but even
do
though
it,
I'm not
try
from
it.
Liverpool.
Just give it a go. Big go, big swing.
I don't know why I can't do my home accent. That's alarming, that, right?
Maybe it's because you're like,
Manchester. How you doing? That's
really?
All I needed. Yeah,
is that just, what they do on the radio?
Just someone to say. So I'm Rick from Manchester. Imagine if I did my videos like this, man. How's everyone doing? You all playing golf today or what?
That's very different.
So yeah, that's Manchester.
Right.
So I've tried to neutralize it.
Yours is neutralized more to almost a bit more American English.
Yeah. I tell you what, if I spend too much time in the US, I start to go slang.
You start to just talk like totally an American.
Yeah, definitely. I'd go real south. Wherever I am in the US, right. I just go south.
Right.
And I go, hey, man.
Yeah.
I'd never say that.
No.
I would never say in a million years, hey, man, how you doing, dude?
Really?
Never.
What would you say?
Hello. Good morning.
It's very, you're very.
How are you today, sir?
The English.
Good morning. Man, good morning, wifey.
You would say that.
No. But I wouldn't say, hey,
you
doll.
Say, good morning. So, yeah, because when I saw you this morning, what did you say? You said, good morning. We had breakfast together.
I tried to cool it out. I tried to fist pump you a little bit.
I tried to fist pump you.
Hey, man, how you doing? How's the sleep?
Yeah, because I remember yesterday I did. I think I went in for a fist bump, and you and it was a mid-air switch.
Oh, it was it was
because you were going in for a handshake.
Yeah, I'm a handshaker. I'm a nice to meet you, sir.
Right.
I think that's just the traits that English fellas.
Is that golf or is that being English?
Definitely golf.
Really?
Without question.
Yeah. Right.
I learned how to give a strong handshake at the age of 10, 11. Right. Like when I started playing golf, it was one of the first, it's probably one of the first things of etiquette I got taught.
Really?
The strength of a handshake.
Who taught it to you?
My mum.
Really?
How mad's that? Yeah, my mum got me into golf. Unfortunately, she doesn't play as much anymore. She doesn't play at all, but she got me into golf. And when we started to play with other people, and she was like, right, you don't, like, obviously when you handshake a lady, it's a bit softer.
Sure.
She went, no, you if you make sure you give a proper handshake.
Men and women?
No, mainly men. I still go a bit softer on ladies, but.
Right. As you should.
Yeah. But like, it was like, no, you've got to grasp the hand. Look at the player.
Yeah, eye contact.
Square in the hand, yeah. In the eyes.
Yeah, a handshake with no eye contact to me is dead.
Or a hand down handshake is the worst.
Well, that's a power move.
Isn't it?
Let me see.
I like to flip.
Let's do a little handshake here.
So if you go...
Eye contact.
Eye contact, sorry, yeah.
That's good. That was good.
If you go flip...
Oh, yeah,
you
fuck
go
that.
Flip. I like to turn.
Oh, you so grab
I'm just like, hold on.
You grab the forearm and take it back.
So
you know who does the power... So what he's talking about is when you shake hands and then the other person basically... throws you under by pointing their back of their hand to the ceiling.
Yes.
And that's a power move that, you know who does that a lot is agents.
Is that?
In Los Angeles. They'll come in, 23 years old, fucking riding a cowboy, riding a horse. They come in all high on coke and they just come in and throw your hand down. And I literally will turn coke. It back too.
Yeah, good.
And these guys are usually guys that go to the gym twice a day.
Yeah.
That's it. They got big forearms.
So is that the reason why? So they can power move your handshake?
I think that's the main workout they're doing is...
How do we get onto this subject? But yeah, I think good solid hand. I think the characteristics that golf have taught me is to spend, as a young kid growing up, I spent a lot of time with, obviously kids my age, but also adults. And you've got to learn how to behave. You've got to learn how to speak in front of adults and, do professional handshakes and manly handshakes and,
right.
And all of those things that I feel has definitely put me in decent stead as I've grown into my own man and father and things that I'll teach my kids as well, whether they get into golf or not. Hopefully they will do. But, characteristics, pieces of etiquette that I think carries a long way within the world of golf.
Right.
Would you say?
Absolutely.
Because you obviously came into golf later.
Yeah, I had to relearn.
I was gonna say, were you like fist pumping and high fiving everyone as soon as you met?
Well, yeah, I came into golf definitely with like a much more casual vibe, right? Because for me, I hadn't learned any of those things, and in a sense, I had spent most of my teens and early 20s kind of living in the opposite.
Yeah,
you
were power moving.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a power move. It was I was just oblivious.
Right.
I would walk around my hometown in a bathing suit, just downtown in our.
I feel like I could imagine this on a skateboard.
No, just walking. Okay. I had a skateboard sometimes, yeah. But bicycles. I was into bicycles.
Okay.
Okay. So, but I don't even think we finished the part about what we did last night.
Sorry. Yeah. So
no, I mean
my new show, I've titled it "Teeing It Up With," and the idea is I'm teeing it up with interesting characters. So. That will be a mixture of golf professionals, amateurs, people within the media. I don't kind of know where you fit into this. I think, we titled yours, Teeing It Up With The Coolest Man In Golf.
How crazy is that?
And I think that's quite fitting.
Yeah, Eric, I got to say, that's a huge compliment.
Well, I was trying to wrap my brains and going back to, I looked through Instagram, I thought, come on, I've got to follow someone cooler. And I looked and I scrolled.
Oh, you tried to
to
base the test on.
Yeah, I was like, hold on, there must be someone cooler.
There was actually no one cooler. I thought it was just a throwaway name.
I struggled.
There's really no one cooler.
Who are the
close ones?
Oh, I've not met him, but that Malbon golf seems
he's cool.
Cool.
He is cooler than me in a lot of ways.
See, I don't feel like I've listened to him on the podcast.
Right.
But I don't feel like I've fully know him yet.
Here's the thing. Here's the difference between me and him is that he's the coolest thing in golf.
Okay.
I'm the coolest personality. I sound like a total shithead when I say that.
Listen, I've bigged you up for the last 2 days.
Yeah. I'm not the coolest anything. I'm just myself.
I've been telling you the coolest. So you're going to have to start believing it.
My tattoo is almost dry.
Yeah. I'm going to get a matching one. I played with the coolest man in golf. So obviously that was an interesting one for me where I can showcase you as a personality, someone who is, you know, bringing something fresh to, I want to say, the golf media space.
Sure.
You know, obviously you've not... I don't think you've fully quite figured it out yet, is what we've discussed off air, but I feel like it's going...
What he just said was super fucking top secret. There are we've got things happening behind the scenes here that are about to unveil on the golf industry that are literally... Don't feel bad. It's a good thing.
I didn't sign an NDA.
Rick Shields just gave a teaser.
I didn't sign any NDA. I want this in writing.
He gave a teaser of basically what's going to happen is... so many big secrets are about to be unveiled
Guys, everyone listening, hit me up on Instagram. I'll tell you all the secrets. At Rick Shields PJ, I'll tell you everything.
In the next 20 years, we're going to have huge secrets.
I'm excited about a few things. One, what's coming up for you?
Yeah.
I'm desperate to see this bloody film you're making.
Oh, yeah. I think you will love that, actually, because you are a student of the game.
Yeah,
you seem to spend a lot of your time... kind of curious about how to get better at golf.
I soak in information, some of it useless.
Yeah.
Just in normal social media world, you know what I mean?
Right.
Spending too much time on that. But I love learning. I don't think you can ever learn enough. I think you're always learning in any walk of life as well. And in the golf business, the golf, you know, instructional business, which I'm in, any edge, any new discovery, I'm all in. I want to know more about it. I want to know more about the process, the ideas. At the end of the day, everyone wants to get better. And my role as a golf coach, not only in person, I still coach, you know, many hours a kind of month to make students better. But obviously,
one-on-one, people come in.
One-on-one, yeah, I do. I still coach one-on-one lessons. But I coach, obviously, on my YouTube channel through a bigger audience. It's a slightly different method of coaching, obviously, because it's online.
So people watch, you do like live videos?
I try and do instructional videos that are very simplified.
Broad.
Yeah.
Right.
Obviously, it's going to be everyone's
got their
own. Here is the
grip. Yeah. Hold the club on this part.
I like to aid the golfer to figure out what they potentially might be doing wrong.
Right.
You know, so if I do a fix your slice video.
Yeah,
so
9 out of 10 coming over the top.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be people who come out of that rule, but I also say that in the video. Listen, you are going to be the one of... This is going to fix you. If this doesn't fix you, this will fix you. Hmm. If this doesn't fix you, this will fix you. You know.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it.
Why does everyone come over the top?
It's a lot of the time. Bizarre. Yeah, well, there's a reason behind it. A lot of the time because we're trying to create power as a golfer, right? You want to hit the ball far.
I do.
You hit it out there.
I was trying to poke it.
I mean, you there was a couple of shots where you got airborne off your feet yesterday when you were trying to smash it.
Oh, you were watching.
Of course, as always.
At the end of this, we got to do a swing critique. Yeah. I want to hear this. I got to hear this.
Eric Anders Lang swing diagnosis. So a lot of players will try and hit the ball with power, strength, arms.
Right.
And arms and power and upper body doesn't really create the power.
Right.
You know, but that's where we think it comes from.
Right.
But so a lot of golfers want to try and hit it from their upper body, the chest, their arms. And that initial movement throws the club more on the outside.
Right.
And then gets the club swinging left, where you look at, you know, you've had some great lady golfers on the podcast. You look at someone like Danielle Lang.
Kang hasn't been on, but Allison Lee.
Allison Lee, that's it. She's tiny, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's
not, totally. She's Tisha, very tiny.
Smashes it.
Yeah.
Even Michelle Wee, obviously, she's tall.
Yeah.
But they've not got the arm strength,
totally.
But the lower body and the core is ridiculously strong. And I'm the same. You know, if I went to a gym and if we worked out and did whatever they call it, bloody bench press and all that stuff.
I would love to go to the gym with you, by the way.
You would embarrass me.
We would have a great time. Why?
Because upper body wise, that's not where I'm strong.
Okay.
But I hit the ball a long way because I use my lower body and use my engine.
You got a huge ass.
Hey, man, it's packing some. I'm proud of that ass. I've worked hard for that. So for me, that's where the power comes from.
Right.
So that answers your question. A lot of players will try and hit it with the upper body and then the club gets over the top.
Right.
But going back to...
Where were
people.
We? Into the show.
Well, no, I'll tell you where we were.
We need to wrap up the show. Teeing it up with.
Teeing it up with. It's a new show. Your episode number three.
Episode two just came out. It comes out on every Thursday?
No.
Oh, it comes out as completed.
There's no schedule yet.
I like that.
Only because there's a number of factors. I don't want to just... If I promised a show every week or every 2 weeks, and let's say I didn't capture an interesting person, I don't want to just make a show.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, you make enough content already.
Yeah. I used to make, God, scary amounts, two a day.
Two videos a day?
Yeah.
Of what? Like one of you having breakfast, one of you going to the bathroom?
No, all golf.
All golf.
All golf. And I used to review every golf club under the sun. I used to give instructional videos like crazy. I used to play golf so much and document it. And it's great, but it was too unobtainable. You know, it works for a while, but it's you know, when you're filming it, editing it, at the time I didn't have a team behind me helping me out. It was all me doing it.
Whoa. So you were editing the videos too?
I did not sleep much at all in that.
That would drive me crazy.
But I enjoyed it because it's you know what it's like, it's addictive.
Right.
You know, pushing content out and seeing the reactions and seeing the comments and how it's growing, it's like, oh man, it's a rush.
People like it.
Yeah.
I'm doing something right.
I didn't do drugs as a young and this is my
You didn't do drugs?
No. This is my kind of drugs.
Right.
The way it's like, it's addictive.
Yeah.
I love pushing content out. I love doing that sort of thing. So but then this year I've structured my content more where I'm more focusing on the quality rather than the quantity.
Right.
So I've gone down to 3 videos a week.
And have you noticed any pushback?
I've seen more views.
Hmm.
My average views have gone up, nearly doubled.
Whoa.
It's crazy, right?
So it's almost like people are going to watch X amount of video, X amount of minutes of content. It's a matter of just how you do it.
Correct. And I think if you flood the market in that space, because there are way more creators now in the golf space, you're just fighting too much. And where I'd rather just make a kick-ass, I've never said kick-ass, by the way, unbelievable piece of content.
What was kick-ass? That was you trying to say like a
just,
California
I'm
thing?
I'm just trying to be cool, mate. Yeah. Like, it's not easy. I've got,
I'm just trying to be cool.
I'm sitting back. I've got my feet up. I'm trying to be cool. All right, Eric, give me a break.
You got to move to California, man.
So instead of making top-notch content, but making good content now is where I'm thriving. I enjoy it more. I'm more proud of every piece of content that I put on my channel. And I think that shows. So the teen up episode, we played 6 holes. It was all about you. You know, you were a guest on my show, and
it was.
Yeah, it was all about you. It was the Eric Anders Lang, you know, meets Rick type idea. So we played 6 holes. The golf was more just a factor. We didn't even keep count on those first 6 holes because it wasn't really about that. Asked loads of questions about Eric, which to the show for I don't know when the podcast is coming out, but hopefully the show will be coming out. I normally try and turn them around within about 2 weeks.
Right.
So it'll be out in about 2 weeks from this point, which is the start of end of June. So hopefully early July it'll be out.
I have no idea where we are. I think it's 2018.
Yeah. So start of July I'll aim for. And then we did, and then on top of that, because this is still hugely popular, we played a match.
I love that.
Rick versus Eric.
Yeah.
The uncoolest man versus the coolest man. So we played a 3-hole match and I will not give anything away, but no. Eric plays off 10 handicap. And if you saw him
drive
the golf ball yesterday, you would go, what the hell?
Well, here's my 10.
But then I saw him putt.
My 10, yeah. I can't putt, and I can hit 2 bad drives.
True.
2 bad drives, 2 really bad drives.
Yeah.
2 bad drives where I'm waiting to hear a window smash.
Okay.
Either from a car or a house.
Left or right?
Well, it really depends. I can go both ways.
Okay. Depends where the house
Mr.
is.
Mr. Poulter has got, yeah. Yeah, it depends where that. I mean, that's the thing is, is this common? I'll literally go to the golf course and I'm like, what shot am I hitting today? Because I'm fully capable of, I played North Berwick the other day. I played a draw on every hole off the tee. Just a nice little 5-10 yard draw. It was working with me both into the wind and downwind. But then I can also go to the course and be like, I cannot get the ball around. So I just play a cut all day. I just go to the left side. Is that common?
It is to a degree. There'll always be a characteristic. There'll always be a tendency. Actually, looking at your swing yesterday, you get quite neutral with your swing direction.
What does that
so,
mean?
So if you were thinking, if you draw a dead straight line from your golf ball to the flag or your target, your swing coming down is fairly neutral down that line, right? So a little bit inside.
A little bit.
But it could also flip a little bit outside.
It could easily go outside.
But so you're not, and that's not a bad thing.
I'm sitting on the fence.
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
The issue is you might just experience days where you'll draw it a little bit because you're just a little bit on the inside. Maybe setup's different or whatever might happen. And other days, you might actually just swing to the left of that line, where for me, I really struggled to swing to the left of the line.
Really?
So for me, I'm inside. I get too inside. So yeah. If I want to hit a straight shot, I've honestly got to feel like I'm slicing it.
Yeah.
I've got to jump over the fence. I've got to jump over three fences to get the swing more to the left.
Right.
Where your swing, and it, honestly, it's not a bad position to be in, because you'll be able to control the flight either way to a degree, is that you sit really close. From visually what I'm seeing of your swing, I've not had you on a launch monitor or anything, but you've had lessons, right?
Yeah.
What does your swing direction say on the lessons?
Yeah, I try to be 2 degrees inside, 2 degrees close.
That's what I mean. So it's like they're really close, they're really tight numbers. Well, I'm more like on a bad swing, I'm 4, 5, 6 degrees from the inside.
Right.
So for me to get outside, I've got to really fight it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I had a draw, I'm drawing it for months.
Right.
For me to get to a fade, I've got to work just as hard in that time period to hit fade.
Wow. So even yesterday when we had, like, for example, a hole that went to the right, like, were you trying to cut that ball?
Slice the hell out of it.
And it just went straight?
Yeah, dead straight.
That's
Which
so
is scary because that hole that we played, I'm not going to give it away, but this hole was one of the tightest tee shots I've played.
Very tight.
With out of bounds, a yard off the fairway to the right, uh-huh. And the dog swooped, the whole dog leg had swooped around to the right.
Yeah, and gorse left.
Gorse, you can't go left. So I stood on that tee and tried to slice a 2-iron, and it came out like a bullet.
I mean, you laced it.
It was, I'm going to dream about
that shot. That was a really good shot. You kept your 2-iron probably, 60 yards high, and it just lasered its way down there.
Yeah, it's my interpretation of a stinger.
I like that.
So then we play 3 holes. That'll be out on a separate video, because... that's a little bit differently edited. That's more mano versus mano in a match.
I love it.
With shots, which I'll slightly disagree. I wish I hadn't given you as many shots. But no, you deserve them.
I mean, I deserve them, but also I did play well.
You did play well.
But I only beat...
Stay tuned, folks.
Nothing happened.
Right, that's how I'm going to give away all
I didn't
secrets.
Use all the shots.
All right, don't rub it in. So that video will come out soon as well. And I've got some more interesting guests lined up. None that I can say just yet, but...
Barack Obama.
Yeah. Trump. Imagine that.
That would be a lot of work.
Do you think people would watch it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's a fascinating character.
Let's say I did a teen it up episode with Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And I did a teen up episode with Donald Trump. Or President Trump.
Yeah.
What's getting more views?
Probably the Trump episode.
What's getting the most dislikes?
Probably the Trump episode. I mean, especially, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's a polarizing character, Donald Trump. That also said, though, I've met him. He's incredibly charming. Like, you want to hang out with him. Like, you don't want him to walk away.
No way.
He's so, this is also a year before the election. So he was in the... but it didn't seem like anything was actually going to happen.
Yeah. He was being nice to everyone at that point, I guess.
Politicians.
He wanted to vote.
There's a whole thing about how someone said the very desire to be president should preclude you from running. It's such an insane endeavor. And you must be such a complete psychopath to want to be president that very desire should actually deem you unfit to hold office.
Wow.
I like that.
That's crazy.
If
I'm honest, his courses rank in some of my most favorite course I've ever played.
Yeah, you know what's funny is if you delete the politics from a lot of things in life, even the golf world, like if you didn't know that it was a Fazio course, or if you didn't know that, so-and-so won that tournament, or if you didn't know Patrick Reed's family story or thought you knew.
I hate that stuff.
If you didn't think you knew who Patrick Reed was, because you don't.
No.
If you're listening and you think you know you don't like Patrick Reed, you don't know anything about him.
No.
I guarantee it.
That was weird at the Masters.
So bizarre.
I was there on the Sunday.
Where were you? Because I was there too.
First time I ever met you.
That's right. Where were we? We met on second green.
We met on the second green.
Yeah.
When McIlroy just stiffed it.
It was. We were standing right next to each other.
Yeah.
For a while.
Crazy. He stiffed it in two. He had a short eagle putt.
Right.
Which would have leaped him to the top of the leaderboard. Would he have caught up with Reed at that point?
Yeah.
And he missed it. And it was it wasn't a big putt. I mean, his putting's been.
We had no view. We were six people back.
Ridiculous! How busy was it? But it was great. Just all I wanted to experience at that moment in time is a Masters eagle roar on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And probably you probably love Rory.
I'm going to be honest. I love golfers.
Yeah, you love all of them. We talk about this.
I struggle not to respect any of them.
Yeah.
Even if they're. And it's another word I'd never use, douche. Even if they're a bit of a douche.
I use that word a lot.
Even if they're a bit of a douche.
Right.
It doesn't offend me. I felt.
Your personal lives, you mean?
But even if they're a bit of a douche on the course.
Right.
I'm not that bothered.
Yeah.
Because it's their job. And they play
they're
professional golf at the highest level under the most extreme pressures,
right?
And they still can hit the golf ball in a lower score than any of us can ever dream of. I don't care if they are complete douches.
I could see you there
more than I've ever said in my life.
I could see you having a lot of flair on the course out there. If you were like out there in a televised competition, I could see you really.
No, you know what? I go the opposite way.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah. I go very insular and very. Like
Mark Leishman,
cagey, yeah. Only because I'm probably because I'm just not as. And I think this is a trait that every top professional has to have: an arrogant confidence.
Yeah,
they have to have that.
You have to.
And I don't have that because I don't have the arrogant confidence over my ability.
Well, you don't have that yet.
But I don't desire to have that. Don't worry. It's not in my grand plans. I don't plan to be a player. You know what? One of the best things that ever happened to me, I turned pro at 18 and I thought I was the bee's knees, right? I thought I was coming out and I wasn't a great junior player. I didn't play in loads of things. I didn't win a lot of things. I was good at my golf club, but that's just, you know, my golf club. So I came out thinking, yeah, I'm going to be the best. I can beat everyone. And I think I played in one of my first tournaments. I played as well as I could have possibly played in a tough day, in tough conditions, on a tough golf course, and maybe shot level par, right?
Right.
I lost by 8. And I was thinking, I was writing my winning speech.
Lot.
I was writing the winning speech. I came in shooting level par on a tough day, in a tough condition, thinking, I've won this.
Right.
Oh my God, I'm counting the money already.
Right.
It's only a local pro event.
No clue what anyone else
only
is
a local pro event. Yeah, this is like coming out of the blocks thinking I was the bee's knees. And then you get pros coming in and shooting 800 and you think, okay, I'm a long way away from this.
Yeah.
And that, you know what, that helped. I realized at that moment in time that playing professional golf wasn't in my future.
Whoa,
do you know
immediately.
What I mean? Straight away.
On the day.
And I thought, hold on, I still want to be in golf. I'm still desperate to put golf shoes on every day and call it my job, my career.
Oh, I like that image.
And I thought, you know what? What else? What's then next? And I've always had a true desire and respected teaching coaches, you know, golf professionals, golf coaches. I thought that's where I go. So almost between turning pro a year, I probably gave it playing, realized I wasn't good enough.
Right.
But that's the best thing that ever happened. I think the worst thing that could have happened is for me to have a glimmer of hope at that point.
Yeah, it's to come in second or something.
Because I think I would have chased a dream for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Where instead...
Gone bankrupt.
I knuckled down, 19, 20. I was at a beautiful golf course. I coached junior classes, coached beginner classes, coached individuals. You know, just smashed it. You know, just worked my socks off just to make money. And I enjoyed it. I loved it. And because of that, when I was 19, 20, 21, I was moving house. I'd bought a nice car. I'd done this. I'd done, you know, I was kind of feeling like, you know, everything that I've worked hard for is now coming off already. Where I think if I'd have shot 400 or 500 that day, That'd have been the worst thing that would have ever happened to me.
Fascinating.
So then coaching just became me. I just loved coaching. I got addicted to coaching. I got addicted to seeing people improve. I got addicted to seeing how my influence was helping golfers get better at golf. And I moved to a facility in Manchester, really busy driving range, and just started smashing coaching and loved it. You know, really loved it. I started doing YouTube to promote my coaching, to promote me as a golf coach.
Just to promote the coaching?
Completely.
You didn't see it as a new opportunity in
and
of itself?
Not at all.
You were like, oh, this is a business card.
Let me tell you, this is the funniest. So I just started working at this really busy driving range in Manchester. Probably the busiest, maybe the second busiest driving range in the country. And there was already three or four established golf professionals there who were busy coaches, right? So I'm coming in as a new boy, still fairly young, you know, 22, 23, and thinking, how the hell do I become the busiest here? Like, how do I fill this diary? My diary is open for 60 hours. I'm not doing shop hours anymore. I'm not selling Mars bars in the shop, and I'm not, you know, I am coaching. This is my career now.
And how does that work from a business? It's like a hair salon, right? Like, do you rent the bay?
Correct.
And then you need to, and then you...
Yeah, you rent the bay. You pay a little cut for other booking fees and things like that.
Sure.
But the rent was expensive at the facility, but it was justified because of how busy it was.
Right.
You know, it was the footfall that was coming through the door. So I got busy from the footfall, but I thought that's not going to make me the busiest.
Are you hustling literally, like walking up to a guy and being like, you're coming over to the top, buddy.
Oh my God.
Like a little lesson with Shieldsy and we'll fix that up for you.
I've never seen a golf swing like that before. No, I used to, yeah. So in the early days, you know, when lesson diary was quiet, I'd go up and down the driving range and my trick was, and I'm sure you don't get loads of golf professionals who are working at a busy driving range listening to this, but if there is any out there, my trick was I'd pretend I'm picking up the baskets.
Okay.
You know.
Solid.
And just a bit of chit chat.
Right.
Good morning, sir. How are you? Oh, yeah. I'm good. Can I just get your basket? Yeah, not a problem.
Right. That's a good icebreaker.
Of course.
Neutral.
Literally, yeah.
Because if you come in offering advice, they're going to give you a middle finger.
Correct. Because nobody actually wants advice.
Whoa.
You know, straight off the bat.
Wait, okay.
Let's say yesterday I saw something in your golf swing.
Uh-huh.
I would never tell you. One, because you're not paying me money. No, joking. No, because you've not asked for it. You've not asked for advice.
Wow.
Imagine if yesterday you hit that, you hit one shot left. If I just went, oh, Eric, that was because of this. And you'd be like, why are you telling me this?
Yeah.
You know,
I suppose it would be like if I was giving you filming advice. I mean, if I was like, yeah, you know, we got this thing here or whatever. Like,
yeah.
If anybody gives anybody advice, actually, just period.
Yeah. So you don't want it until you ask for it.
Yeah.
So my icebreaker was, how are you doing? Are you having a good morning? And from that, their response, I could get a gauge. If they would go, oh no, I'm hitting it crap, terrible.
Right.
Well, I'm in.
Then they were potentially...
they're open for open, help.
Yeah.
If they go in...
If they're happy, they're not your potential customer.
Yeah, I'm happy. So I'd walk past them. So if they're having a bad day, so I'd kind of time it where I would walk past again.
Right.
Perfectly in time when they've hit a bad shot.
Like 15, 20 minutes. Oh, after a bad shot.
Yeah, yeah. And they're slamming the club on the floor and they, you know, I like the emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd kind of go, you know, I saw that shot, you know, moving over to the right there. Is that a shot that you'd normally have? And they're like, oh God, I can't fix it. Do you want me to have a quick look? You know, I can help you out. Oh yeah, could you? Yeah, yeah, not a problem.
And that's basically that's your business card.
In the early days, that was my way of just being able to introduce myself. I'm a golf coach. So then I go into, I'm Rick Shields. I'm one of the golf coaches here. Let me come and help, you know, and we can do a little 5 minutes now. But I tell you what would be better if you book an hour lesson.
Yeah.
You know, come in for an hour. I can get you on the video analysis and get you on the launch monitors. I can fix you up quickly.
This is you as a drug dealer giving them a hit for free.
I don't know this world.
I don't know this world.
But let's say yes.
I'm just a good boy. Manchester, I have a neutral accent.
I'm gonna get my mum listening to this.
So hi, Rick's mom. Thank you for getting him into golf.
Yeah,
crazy. I really gotta thank you for that, because the thing that I noticed profoundly was, is I said, yeah, I'm gonna do a podcast with Rick this morning. Everybody said, tell him thank you.
Oh,
that was a big one I got.
That's nice.
It was very nice, you know. And what's interesting here is to hear you talk about this experience on the driving range of, Yeah, on one hand, you're trying to feed your family. But on the other hand, you're actually trying to improve the experience of those playing golf.
Yeah.
When people ask me, what should I do in golf? What should I do? I just started. My biggest answer is take a fucking lesson.
Yeah.
Stop thinking that it's like as easy as the Frisbee.
Yeah.
And take a lesson because you'll enjoy it more deeply and for more time.
For me, it frustrates me when I see a golfer struggle when they don't actually need to struggle. Like as if,
for example,
just if they're doing something fundamentally wrong, and it's dead easy to fix. You know, it might be something that they've just got, they're aiming the wrong way, or the stance is too narrow, too wide, the grip's a little bit off, the ball, it's like so easy. Right. Like they're not big changes.
Right.
And you can give them that information and explain it. Because the thing is with the coaching session, you've got to plant the seed. You've got to say, have we considered the ball position being in a different spot? Let me show you on video. Let me see what it does to the launch monitor numbers. How does that feel to you? You know, did you enjoy that that flight? Did you enjoy the shape of that shot? Well, that was actually because we moved that ball position to a certain spot that allowed you to hit that shot. You know, it's as long as it's been explained, the process,
right,
the student is way more receptive of taking that information on and therefore implementing it into their game.
Right. You know?
So it's like, it's a working experience. So what frustrates me is if I see that guy on the driving range, I think, for God's sake, I could fix this slice in frigging 2 minutes. Just give me a little chance. But the 2 minutes, that's if they're fully absorbing of information, right? If they're fully open to, yeah, take me, give me this information. If they're not, that 2 minutes of instruction, it probably just needs a little bit of that extra longer hour time, another session or whatever, just to plant that information in, just to nail it in. So the student knows that's what I've got to do to get better. That's what I've got to do to make my ball flight different.
Right.
So going back to, so that got me busy as a golf coach. But I thought, you know, hold on. I want to be the stereotypical golf coach. I want to be the pinup boy in the golf magazines. That was where I was, honestly, that's where I aimed. I was 22, 23. And the thing that, you know, YouTube was so fresh and new. Hmm. I mean, it wasn't really even on, 10 on years my ago. Radar. Yeah, yeah.
08, yeah. 07.
08. So it was like not even closely on my radar.
This is first iPhone, right? This is like right around that
this
time.
This might have been actually... think about it, might be a couple of years later, maybe 24, 25, I was actually about it. I think the time at the golf club, I was at a country club for a long time, that was a little bit longer than this. Yeah, so I was about 25, so about 7-6 years ago.
Okay.
So, but still at that time, golf magazines were the place to look. You know, totally. If you wanted to know who's the best golf coach, golf magazines were where you'd go.
And they have like a article that comes out, right? What's it called?
Like a top 10 list.
Top 20, 10. Yeah. Didn't you get a certification if you were in the top 100?
Yeah. So.
And that's a huge
Golf
business.
Golf Monthly.
Okay.
A UK magazine. They have a top 25 list.
Right. Now so, that's big money if you get on that list.
Well, that was the dream.
Yeah.
You know, that was where it was at. And I was thinking, and all I wanted really to start off with was an article in magazine. Let me have the opportunity to tell your readers who I am.
Right.
How I instruct and how you can get better at golf by come and see me for a lesson. It was an advertisement board.
Sure.
A billboard. All my Americanisms are coming out. It was a billboard.
They don't have billboards in the UK?
What do they call? Advertisement boards. Is that what you call them? I don't think they're billboards anyway. big posters. So I wanted an opportunity. So I reached out to all the golf magazines. Just give me a chance, right?
You're a grinder, huh?
Give me a chance.
You fucking grind. You're not afraid of hard work.
You know what? And this is not to kind of blow it. I would say the strength I have over anything else is I love frigging work.
Yeah, I can tell.
Like I am addicted to work.
Yeah.
I am. And I don't think that would have mattered what line of work I'd have got into. As someone who's self-employed, who completely and utterly reaps the benefits for the more work I put into something.
Yeah.
It made me frigging work hard. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, my mum grew up, you know, she brought me up as a single parent. She grafted a socks off to, you know, give me the opportunities. And it's the only thing I've learned, you know, my work ethic is frigging work hard. I always think I can work harder than anyone else, you know, and that's my strength. You know, if it was ever a head-to-head and let's say everything got reset to zero for everyone again, talking social media or business or whatever, right? I know that I could outwork 90% of people, 95% of people,
right.
100% of people, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And at that time, that's what I was doing. I was just working and working and working and working, smashing it. But absolutely frigging loving it.
Loving
like
it.
Like never at that time did I think, man, this is hard.
Well, because you're watching something grow right in front of you.
And the harder you work, the more money I got in my back pocket, the more things I could buy, the more things I could do. You know, right. that was my motivation.
Right.
So golf magazine's where I wanted to be. I reached out to all of them, got no response.
What?
Right? Nothing. Zilch.
I was expecting immediate Zilch. Success.
No, nothing. So I was like, well, F you. I'm gonna do my own.
I'm going alone.
I'm doing it. So I didn't have any background in videography, in editing, in content at all. I was very early to the Twitter game when Twitter came out.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know why I was doing that. I was just doing it.
I don't even know what Twitter's for.
I would, back in the day, like 12 years ago, I jumped on Twitter and I was like, I remember another golfer asking me, why are you on Twitter? And I was like, you know what? I don't know.
I still don't know.
To this day, I've never received a check off Twitter.
Right.
But I know I've made plenty of money from Twitter.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? In different ways.
I see.
Through spreading my message to get people booking in or seeing my YouTube channel, whatever it may be. So I started, this is a funny story and looking back at it. So I thought, right, I'm going to need to make some videos and I don't know what to do here. I have no idea, right? But that's what I want to do. I want to make my own videos. I want to tell my message to the world, right?
Again, if you had gotten a yes from one of these golf magazines.
Crazy.
Different story.
I'll sweep back round to the golf magazines in a minute.
Yeah.
So I went online and looked at videographers, editors, right? And I bit the bullet. I hired a videographer and editor for a day. And my plan, I want to make 25 videos, right? I know, in hindsight now, it's crazy.
The videographer's like, all right, mate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
how about two?
But he wasn't Australian.
Sorry.
he was actually Scouse.
I am the worst. Scouse? I can't do anything.
Give me a heads up on Scouse.
I can repeat
guy.
Something.
I'm trying to think of. It's hard. It's not. I can do. Why can't I do? Just start me off. Just, all right, la. How you doing, mate? Are you all right, mate?
Are you all right, mate?
And he went, hey, Eric, there's no way I can do 25 videos.
There's no way I can do 25
day.
Videos.
And I went, what's my mank accent again? Come on, mate.
Come on.
I can't do it now, anyway. this was a Scouser and a mank trying to make a business deal happen.
Right.
So I paid him a lump sum, which at the time was
good for you for
expensive.
Biting the bullet.
Friggin' expensive.
I bite the bullet so many times.
Yeah. I was like, man, this has got to work.
Yeah.
This, but honestly, I was justifying it on, I'm going to make 25 videos.
Well, and that's the best investment you can make in life.
So
I was like,
I'm going to pay this money to someone because I don't know this space.
Right.
I don't know how to make this video. So I paid this videographer editor a big lump of money at the time. And we went out filming and I started filming with him and I nailed the first, this was just instructional videos, right?
Right.
And I nailed the first one.
Right.
I thought, oh, yeah, here we go. Took me 10 minutes,
right.
Light at 6 o'clock, half six in the morning, nailed it. Right. He goes, right, I'd lie, we're going to have to do this again. I can't do it. I'm not even going to do Scouse. He went, we're going to have to do it again. I went, all right, why? He said, and he had headphones on. And he's like, I can hear something. I think it's a tractor in the background. Let's do it again, right?
So, oh, boy.
For God's sake.
Just enter the rest of your life.
I just nailed it. An hour and a half later, we're still on the same friggin' instruction. So when I thought I'd nailed it in that first 10 minutes, an hour and a half later, because once that flow was upset,
yeah,
I struggled to get back into it.
Right.
I think if I'd have nailed the first one and he wasn't bothered about the tractor noise, we would have flown, right?
Right.
But I also think there's a degree that the deal was video and edit everything we'd published for this lump sum.
Right.
So I think his savvy way of making this work is going, no, hold on.
Yeah, okay.
We're not making 25 videos. I'm going to make six with him. So cut long story short, we made six videos, right?
Right.
For me, I was like in despair because I paid a huge lump of money
for
six videos.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking, crap, how do I make this work? So I pushed these six videos out on YouTube. And these are my first
And you probably
videos.
Had, what, 100 subscribers?
Nothing. Zilch. Zero subscribers, right?
You were just like, how do I even use YouTube? You're like, I'll log in.
Correct.
Figure it out.
Correct. Put my pet's name as the password and off I went. I did, really. So I was like, I need to make this work. So I pushed them and pushed them and pushed them and drained every frigging ounce of those videos I cut out. Right. Put them on Twitter every minute, every, you know, really right. drained them. And did with limited success.
And you were just a guy in Manchester at correct. This time.
And I was like, this is... And
was everybody like...
I've still got some of these videos on my channel.
Oh, I'll
have to show
wait.
You later.
I can't wait.
They're awful. They are awful.
And even though you paid a lot for them.
Well, it's my presenting style was awful.
Oh, really?
Hi.
You learned a lot.
I'll have to...
Hi.
This was a... Hi, I'm Rick Shields. I coach at Trafford Golf Centre in Manchester. Today, I'm going to show you how to hold the golf club. So robotic.
But talk about that for a second, because I've experienced that too, where I feel like I've become more settled through watching myself on camera and through exploring what it's like to share the world that I know with people yeah. through video. I've learned about myself.
You're good at presenting.
Thank you.
Were you ever bad?
I guess I don't know if I can answer that. I know that I didn't know what I was doing. But
so I knew I was bad.
Yeah.
So I it wasn't natural to me.
Why?
Because it's in front of a video camera.
Right. That made you feel weird.
Yeah. Speaking in front of a student, it's just you and me.
Right.
But this was different. This was a video camera. This was a new world I'd never been in. You know, I didn't come from an entertainment background. I got an A in drama when I was at school. And I used to be in plays and things when I was younger, but that's the only real entertainment side of me.
Right.
It's funny because the two best qualifications I got in school was drama, uh-huh. so theatrical arts, and PE, so right. sports. Physical education, yeah.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing now.
Right, basically. Literally.
It's crazy, isn't
it? Yeah, you've melded the two.
Terrible at science.
No, but you are very intelligent, and you seem to really cut to the chase when it comes to what you're doing in your videos.
Now?
So, now.
Now, yeah. So yeah. I did these six videos. They were very nicely received, but and I didn't make any money from those videos.
Of course not.
At all.
How could
because
you?
YouTube at that time wasn't about making money.
It wasn't monetized.
It wasn't monetized at all.
Yeah.
Not one penny.
No YouTube Red.
Nothing.
No ads.
Zero. Zero. So I was completely doing it as an advertisement board. And I just remember that first time I received the phone call and, you know, I can't remember. I think he was called Gary and he kind of rings up and goes, hey, I've seen your video on YouTube. I live in Manchester. I'd love to book a lesson with you.
Boom.
And I was like, holy crap. I've just made money out of these videos.
That was a big moment for you.
I mean, not... It didn't offset the cost of the videos, but
sure.
it was a start. I was like, hold on, this is money. I've made a lesson booking because he's not going to see me any other way apart from this YouTube video.
He's never met you.
He would never, ever land in my teaching bay unless he'd stumble across this video.
Right.
Right?
So immediately in that moment, you saw a viability that could grow.
It was all worth it.
Wow.
Everything was worth
just
it.
Just for one $50 lesson
just,
or whatever
yeah, only because at the time it was something that was not me walking up and down the driving range.
Right.
You know, pretending I'm picking up baskets.
You done with this?
Yeah, exactly. And what I loved about it, and so he was the first, and then many, 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 many more returned after that. And, it grew to a stage where, you know, even off those first six videos, I maybe got 20, 30 new bookings, right?
Right.
So still hadn't quite paid for the cost, but those guys didn't just book one lesson. They booked 5 lessons, 10 lessons.
Right.
So potentially, I've never actually worked out, but maybe it did pay for the cost of the 6 videos. But either way, I'd seen a return, right? And what I saw, more importantly, never, ever, was those guys that were on the driving range picking up baskets. I had to bring them into my world and I had to open them up to allow information to go in.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I had to say to those guys, listen, I'm going to help you. The guys I was getting off YouTube were coming in open-armed. They were like, take me.
Right.
I'm ready.
Fix this.
Because I already trust you.
Right.
I already know you. I know what you look like. I know
They're
what you
connected.
Sound like. I know who you are, and I've seen your videos, and you know, I feel like I know you already. And this was just really early days.
That's fascinating.
And those students were so easy to coach.
Right.
Because they were just like, yeah. Whatever you, not at this stage so much, but certainly these days. But if you want to stand on one leg and hit a ball, I trust you.
Yeah.
You don't have to prove anything to me.
I'd do it if you asked.
Yeah, no. I will do later. It's one of your drills that you got to do. I've put a very straightforward 120 drills together for you. Just tailored for you.
120.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get through them in no time. So those guys were just so open.
Right.
I thought, crap, this is something. So I thought, right, I'm not paying anyone to do these videos. I'm going to freaking do them, right?
Gangster.
So, but it's YouTube. Who cares if they're not perfect?
I guess that's true. At the time,
who cares? Because no one else doing it. Right. They're just happy to see content.
Well, and from your angle, this is just a business card.
Of course it is. And it was 720p.
Yeah, it wasn't HD even.
Not HD.
Amazing.
So literally filmed on an iPad and a phone, Apple's, iPad, Apple phone. Edited it on free iMovie or whatever.
Right.
But it worked. And I started smashing content out. Like you wouldn't believe, like smashing it out.
Right.
Because now the ball was in my court. I could film it. I could produce it. I could edit it myself. I could upload it myself. And I loved the mistakes. Like I left them in. I loved it. Like what you do with your podcast, it's like raw.
Yeah.
It's not edited.
Yeah.
It might be. I'll listen
this?
Back.
No, this is not edited at all.
So like.
You'll hear it. It's going to start off with, oh my God, are we recording? I'm going to be like, yeah.
Okay. So what I've found fascinating, you checking if it is recording?
I can't believe we've been recording for 56 minutes.
No way. I thought you were going to have a look there and go, oh, actually, we're not recording.
Oh, shit, the light's not on. No, I don't make that mistake. But
So then I started making my own content and pushing out there, and there was no cost.
Yeah.
Didn't cost me anything.
Zero.
I already had the equipment.
The platform's free.
Everything was free. Everything was free. The only thing that cost was my time.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't charge myself for time.
Yeah, anymore.
Not
well,
yet.
You did.
Not yet.
You didn't. Now you do.
So I was like, I can just do this.
So I need to consult with myself.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be $1,200.
What rate should I charge? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to smash this content out. Right. I was with my wife, not married, but I was with my wife. She was full-time. She was a teacher, so she was working hard. I was working hard. I was coaching a lot, but I was also editing a lot and getting these videos out. So then I was seeing even more success. I was thinking, well, hold on. Now every single booking that comes in is now profit.
Right.
Because that didn't cost me anything. This did not cost me anything to make. So then fast forward a few months, I was then the busiest golf coach in Manchester.
Boom.
I think I was the busiest golf coach in the country at the time.
I believe it.
Many didn't.
Many
I'm
didn't.
Joking. No, but I was 60 hours a week just smashing it.
Right.
It.
And then when would you make the videos?
And almost
You make the videos at night?
Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd make them before coaching.
Whoa.
So I'd start making videos maybe 8 till 10 in the morning. Because the first lesson was kind of 10, but I'd teach till 10 at night.
Whoa.
And then 10 at night, I'd get home for 11 and edit.
And is your wife just like...
But she's a school teacher, so she got home and did paperwork and
you were like, look, this is just for now.
I'm gonna get
busy.
I don't think it even needed to be justified. I think it was just what I was doing. It was my advertisement costs.
Right.
Effectively.
Right.
So instead of paying someone, I was just double working, and I said before, working harder, because I didn't mind that.
And now you travel with a team of three.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're just crushing it still. Your story is really inspiring to me.
It's crazy.
It's inspiring to me because, I get a lot of messages from people saying, I want to work in the golf industry. What should I do? And I would like to hear your answer to this. Typically, I say it's hard for me to answer that question because my experience is one of literally I was backing up and, I backed up into this room and then I turned around and all of a sudden there was a bunch of people who were like, welcome. We'd now like to pay you. And it was totally fucked. Like, there's no way for me to tell anyone how to redo that other than by saying something like, you need to, without any hesitation, do exactly what you want to do in every moment.
Yeah.
And if that means telling someone something that they might not want to hear, or if that means asking for something that you don't think you can get, or if that means going to a place and you don't know why. Those are the things that I did. Those are the only things that I can say, The first video we did, I was wearing a t-shirt. Someone said, you should wear a t-shirt. And I was like, okay, I'll take that advice. And I took a lot of advice from people. And, I wore the t-shirt and it was, quote, it was cool, And then I wore a tie-dye sweatshirt and all of a sudden it was cool. And we made fun of a golf rake, And so I don't know how to tell other people how to do that, but I feel like your experience is something sort of similar but different as well.
Yeah. Mine wasn't so much. There was a stereotypical golf pro, and I was just effectively being somewhat of a stereotypical golf pro, but on a different platform. And then I made it edgy in the way that I left mistakes in my content. And I loved that. I loved making mistakes and leaving them in, because I think it helped me connect my audience better.
Ah, you're more human in that way.
Yeah.
It wasn't speaking of your audience, polished. Should we go to questions?
Go for it.
I've got so many. You know, let's take. I'm gonna do some ads, and then we're gonna do some questions. Don't go anywhere. Okay, everybody. Just a couple ads in between Rick's amazing interview. Honestly, one of the best. Would you agree? I hope so. Guys, you have skin. I know you do. I know for a fact that you have skin on your body, and the most important thing to do is to take care of that skin, so that you know. You have it because you don't want to get rid of it. And I mean, you know, without skin, you're basically like, what are you like, though? You're kind of like a meatball. Anyway, I have a product that you should try here. It's two bottles. That's it. One in the morning, one at night. And the idea here with Sun Care, S-O-N-N-E, is that it's actually no bullshit. It's actually designed by a golfer and a doctor. You would think most doctors are golfers or vice versa, but in this case, they are two different people, in which case the saying applies, which is two heads are better than one. And actually, if you want to go further with that metaphor, two bottles are better than one. So with Sun Care, you get two bottles, one in the morning, one at night. Just occurred to me, I haven't tried it, but you probably, no, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, the night one. Anyway, it's actually vegan, which is great if you're vegan. If you're not, it just makes you sound cool, and I think it's a good thing for you. And yeah, basically, it's the idea is to get ahead of the situation. The situation, of course, we're talking about is living on planet Earth, very dangerous place, right? We all know that. So this is basically like if you were a motorcyclist, you would wear a helmet. In this case, you're just a human, and you would wear Sun Care. So check it out. Listen, the deal here is, let me get down to the bottom here. Might not even be in this messaging here. But anyway, the deal is if you go to Suncare, SONNECARE.com/Eric, read out the URL, please. I just did. And then use code Eric at the checkout. So basically you get it for $20, which is over 50% off. I don't know what the total price is, but it's clearly more than twice of $20. So it's at least $41. Anyway, if you like moisturizer, if you want to get a gift for somebody, this is kind of a legit gift. The packaging is pretty chill. It comes in like a, it kind of looks like, what the hell does it look like? You know the tubes the tennis balls come in? It looks like that, but it's like a tenth of the size. It's like 3 inches tall. It's hard, and it's got a little squeeze thing at the top. So it's actually good for travel. Anyway, it's good for you. That's the main thing. It's good for you. And, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I think that's all I'm going to say about that. Moving on, the next thing is obviously Adidas. Hang on one second here. I got to find something to read. Hang on. Okay, yeah. So the Adidas thing. Here's the thing. I'm lucky enough to support a brand that I already wore. I already paid for it. Well, I didn't pay that much, but one time I went to the Adidas employee store in Portland, and I fucking unloaded. I bought so many pairs of shoes. It was crazy. But anyway, yeah, I was lucky enough to begin working with Adidas, and they wanted me to say that you need to go to adidas.com. Holy shit. And then click on the golf section, because obviously you like golf. You might not. You might not like golf, which would be funny, because you would sort of be that person who has a drinking problem and goes to an AA meeting and is like, I'm fine. It's not for me. It's for somebody else. And at adidas.com is where you'll find the latest and greatest from Adidas. And, we should probably meet up to give you a rundown on products. So, you know, they want to give me a rundown on the products. So I know how to speak about them. Why the Tor 63 knits are different than the leather version. I'm assuming that they're different because they're leather and knit. Also what the Tor pros are wearing, man. I know that Dustin Johnson is wearing the 360 knits that I'm wearing, and those things are dope. Honestly, I'm not a big cleat guy. Like, I'm more like, I wear running shoes, you know what I mean? Or flip-flops, or obviously I play golf naked. But in the case of these golf shoes, I actually like the spikes. They're super comfortable, and I wear them. And they actually got a little waterproofing around the tip, you know? Oh boy, why does it always get sexual? They've got waterproofing around the toes, the edge. Anyway, those are pretty legit. Vice Golf, guys, if you didn't get the code last week, it's over now. And I don't know when they're going to give us a new code, but if you go to vicegolf.com, you're going to get a top-performing ball for half the price. And I don't know. Basically, you'd be supporting a cool company that's basically like, fuck the big guys. Fuck the big guns. We're coming in. We're going to make a golf ball, and we're going to sell it for cheap, and we're not going to sponsor pros. We're not going to do anything that's going to make the ball cost any more for you. So I support Vice just because it's a cool brand. Also, obviously, I do their commercials, and those are really fun to do, and it's a dream come true. All right. I think that's it. Let's get back to Rick and the questions. We got a lot of questions that you guys sent in, and I'm really psyched that we did those. If we did use your question, hit me up. Email theericlangshow@gmail.com, and let us know what question you used and your address. And I got to figure that out. I'm not sure. I know you use a lot of questions. I want to send out as much stuff as possible, so we'll figure that out. If you live outside of the U.S., it gets complicated because then it ends up costing $20. So I don't know. Maybe if you want some stuff from the Be The Ball merchandise store, we could work out a deal. We could work out a trade. I could give you an old mountain bike, and then you could just supply me with content for my podcast. All right. Thanks for listening to that. I appreciate it. Let's get back to Rick. All right. We're back. In the couple hours since I posted this, I probably have 30 or 40 questions.
How's your Instagram growth going?
You have a very... So Rick posted a photo of me yesterday. I went from 9,800 followers to 10.9K.
You're welcome.
To 10.9. Literally, I lost 9,000 followers. Now, Rick's got a... If you're a fan of Rick Shields, I'm a fan of you.
10.9 you're on now.
10.9. I'm about to hit 11K in one day.
Oh my God. You felt like you just breezed through 10K.
Rick Shields just sending me over the edge. All right, let's see here. I have 43 message requests.
Okay.
And I have 17 DMs waiting. What's going on?
We're just getting some pictures.
Oh yeah, good idea. Getting photos. All right, let's go through here. We'll go through my followers first. This guy's funny. What is your best guess as to the exact length of Michelle Wee's inseam?
What?
That's a joke. You don't have to answer that one.
Thank you.
Shit, this is going to be tough because I'm going to read a lot and I'm not going to respond. I'd like to hear Rick's thoughts on really young kids and golf lessons. I wonder if he has seen the show The Short Game and what he thought of some of the parents on there.
Oh, wow.
My kid is 5 and my philosophy is to let him figure it out on his own aside from some fundamentals. When does Rick think it's best to start, quote, coaching kids that young?
Have you seen The Short Game?
Yes.
What did you think?
Well, I'm friends with the director, and I thought it was great to have a piece of golf media out there. But obviously, the parents are a little difficult to watch. And from your perspective, I would imagine.
Oh, listen, the show was amazing.
I didn't see the show; I just saw the movie.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
my
bad.
It's my
whatever.
My lack of knowledge of what things are called.
You're not in Hollywood yet.
You're
gonna cut to like 9 months. You're gonna be in Hollywood with a pool and everything.
Nice. The movie was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So please give my thanks to your friend for making that, because that is such a cool video.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Cool film. there was some alarming things in there. There were some lovely moments. It's been a couple of years since I watched the show, but the lad from,
Kournikova?
Not American, no. That was Kournikova. That was Anna's brother, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was an interesting character, but I felt like that was more him trying to live up to the success of his sister. There were some other parents on there who were pushing the kids far beyond what I was comfortable with. But there was the young lad, was he French? Who was so happy.
Yeah.
Like, so happy. And he didn't win.
No.
But I think this is the weird thing. To become a professional athlete at the highest level, I do believe you need to have pushy parents.
Yeah.
Like I do. And it's awful, isn't it? But you look at who has been successful in the past. You know, like your Tiger Woods, your Williams sisters, your Lewis Hamilton, the guys who seem to have had pushy. And I'm sure loads of different sports people as well. Unless you are incredibly naturally talented in golf, because it's so individual, you have to be pushed.
Yeah,
I'm not agreeing with it. Am I going to do the same with my kids? No. Like, if they want to play golf, great. If they show talent and skill, great. I will nurture that and push them forward to get, to be the best they can be. But yeah, that show was an interesting one for me in different ways. About having lessons, if it was me, I would look at about 7 year old.
7 years old?
Yes.
Give them some lessons.
Actual coaching.
Okay.
Yeah. I think before that, fun, fundamentals, a little bit of instruction, just sprinkling across about where you maybe should stand and
grip.
But yeah, that is literally it. Until it's 7, 8, 9, 10s, then start to really get a little bit more into the technical aspects.
Similar question from one of my favorite guys here. At what age do you introduce your kid to golf? Is there an age to be pre-lesson?
So this is, well, only because I'm experiencing this at the moment. I've got a 4-year-old daughter, or coming up to 4-year-old, a 2-year-old daughter, and a baby on the way.
Okay.
My 4-year-old and 2-year-old already have been introduced to golf.
Okay.
Right? But they've never, one of them's been on the golf course, but none of them, they've not actually been. The way I've introduced them to golf is with golf balls and holes,
right,
effectively.
So you just let them throw the balls around and stuff. Huh.
So that's golf. To them, golf at the moment is the golf ball.
I mean, kids are on one big acid trip anyway. They don't care. They're just like, what's going on?
So to them, golf is the golf ball.
Right.
Right? Whatever they do with the golf ball is golf.
Huh.
If they kick it, it's golf. If they throw it, it's golf. If they whack it, it's golf.
Very beautiful.
So for me at the moment, I'm getting them to enjoy the golf ball, as much to my wife hates it around the house, but enjoy the golf ball because that's golf.
Right.
And that will develop into hitting the golf ball, putting with the golf ball, chipping with it.
Right.
I went out with my 4-year-old daughter probably last year, when she was only just over 3. I did all the full shots on a little mini course and she putted.
Right.
And when I say putted, I say it in the loosest fashion. Once we got on the green,
barely.
I gave her the putter.
Yeah.
And I said, you've got to get that ball in the hole.
Oh, wow.
How are you getting it in the hole? I don't care.
Pool cue.
Whatever. Kick it, throw it, whatever. You don't even have to use the club. If you use the club, great. If it's the wrong way around, I don't care.
That's cool.
Just be here. Just be on the golf course with a ball and the club. And slowly but surely that will turn into golf.
What is your favorite thing about American golf culture? Thanks, Benny.
The service.
Oh, yeah.
How good is it?
Yeah. American service.
It's the best. I mean, we slightly, you're not going to be talking about this hotel, are you?
I probably will. Yeah. I mean, you know, but generally speaking, you can talk about.
In general speaking.
I'm kind of torn because you said you do a lot of golf reviews and, you know, club and equipment and courses, and you feel torn now that you can take, you know, you don't want to take money from something you're reviewing.
No.
Well, I'm in a similar situation because, you know, we're here in Isle of Man, invited guests of the state, of the country. What are we in? A country? Municipality? Province?
British Isles.
We're in a British Isle. And I don't, you know, but I mean, that said, we're 20 years back in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on.
So going back to
service, you can answer quickly. We got a bunch of questions.
Service. The customer service in the US is the best.
Okay.
I love American style golf courses. Big greens, big fairways.
Oh, you
beautiful
do?
Tee. Oh, yeah.
More than Lynx golf?
I love them both as equally as each other.
Politically good answer. I like that. I like that. Question for Rick. What are the best and worst parts of having such a large social media following? And is it as fun and glamorous as we all think? Same goes for you too, Eric. I'm going to dodge that question, Barky. But anyway, this is my favorite guy. He's got a golf Instagram dog. Dogs and golf. That's his page. Yeah, nice. I love it.
So best bits is you get to put a piece of content out that you're proud of and it gets instant recognition, views, comments, interaction, helps people straight away.
Yeah.
Worst things are the frigging trolls and negative comments.
You get a lot of that.
But yeah, it comes with anything, but I kind of learned to forget about it.
I don't get any.
I think.
Although maybe I'll get them now. Now that you posted about it.
Now you've got way more. Hey, listen, once you get over 10K followers on Insta, you'll start getting them.
I have a big K on my page.
I think it's just their attention, the way they want to get your attention by a negative comment. I think that's all it is.
Right.
What was the other bit of that question?
I can't remember.
The best bits is,
you got it.
You got it. Yeah.
I guess my answer would be the best part is feeling like what I'm doing is important. Feeling like what I'm doing is relevant, or getting a message that says, "I started golfing." after watching Adventures in Golf.
That's really cool.
Or I got back into it.
Yeah.
That to me, or they'll take it even further and they'll tell me actual real story that is actually really beautiful. The worst part is feeling stress over not being able to meet, not demands, but, you know, meet a request, you know, of people. Hey, I have something I want to tell you. Well, I want to listen, but I also have a backache, I need to shower, and I haven't slept. So, you know, and I just try to manage that, you know, with the time I make available to do that.
Someone else just said, was it glamorous?
It's not glamorous. We're in a fucking shitty-ass hotel.
Yeah.
It stinks.
I didn't want to say anything.
It's fine. It's fine. Can you ask him if he enjoys playing golf more now with his use of social media and job he has now, or before when he was more competing more? Ooh. Unless I am playing a new course, I find it hard to get fully motivated without some sort of competition.
I find it hard now to play golf without making content.
Interesting.
I feel just playing golf, as much as I like it.
Even at the old course?
I've never played the old course.
What?
I actually turned down.
What?
I'm at this. I turned down an invite to play it this year.
What?
I'd been traveling like crazy and my wife's pregnant and it just, timing wasn't perfect.
Right.
He'll come back. But playing golf, just playing golf, unless it is literally with a group of buddies drinking, which I don't really do. I'm trying to make myself sound cool. And the golf course, buggies, drinking beer. I love that. But apart from that, I feel like, imagine if we were playing golf last night, right?
Yeah.
Now, as much as I would love that, I would feel like I was doing a disservice that we weren't capturing that.
I hear you.
Do you get what I mean?
I hear you.
So I feel like I enjoy capturing the place that I've played. Let's say as much as I loved Augusta on the Sunday,
yeah,
I was also itching to share it.
Right.
You know, as much as I loved being there and experiencing it without a mobile phone,
yeah,
I also, part of me just wanted to share it.
Well, at some level, for you, it seems like, you know, you love golf, but in some ways, the bigger competition, if you will, is your work. And I feel the same way. You know what I mean? Like, it was funny because when we were walking around playing golf and filming, we were filming your show yesterday, like, I was like itching to be like, ah, there's a beautiful view right there. Ah, that's great. Oh, it'd be great if the camera was right here and you and I walked by and I said this, you know? And so that was, I found that very hard to not be able
I think
to.
As you experience it, when you've got cameras and drones and this and that,
yeah,
and it's hard to concentrate on your golf as well.
Yeah.
Golf is just there. You just have to step up and hit it.
Exactly.
When you have to get all the camera angles.
It's much harder.
But as we're saying, I think sometimes the viewer doesn't quite appreciate it because they feel like it's almost already done. And that's not a bad thing. If it looks already like you, there's no
you
hard work,
natural, yeah,
that's a good thing.
No, but it's a fucking war out there.
It's crazy.
Trying to get one shot. I watched you.
It's crazy.
I watched that drone. You handed the remote to Guy, and Guy was like,
where is this? Oh, it's only like 2,000 meters out in the sea.
It was pretty far away. Are you a 60-degree guy or a 58-degree guy?
60 every day.
Love
and
it.
I'd want to go more.
Love it. You go 64?
Yeah.
Here's a question. My wife is just getting into golf, so we are starting from scratch. What, in his opinion, would be the most important thing that I could work on her with? Putting, setup, wrist flick when executing a club toss.
Oh, well, it's club toss every day. Honestly, putting. You know, right, why I think putting? Because it's straight away you get a reward.
Right. Interesting.
You know, if you went on a putting green with a complete beginner,
right,
they are gonna hole a putt.
Yeah.
At some stage, right? Doesn't matter how long it is.
And that's going to be exciting.
Well, they've achieved something. You take them to a driving range, and how hard is it to go on a driving range straight away? So I think putting, because you achieve something straight away. There's a goal, and it doesn't matter if you hole it from a tap in or you manage to hole a 10-footer.
Right.
There's something there that was a goal. You achieve something.
Well, and you've got also, carry over to mini golf.
Correct.
Okay, how many sets of irons has Rick tested Well, first answer that. How many
tested?
Sets of, yeah, how many sets?
Well, I've got 1,500 videos on my channel.
Jeez.
And I reckon 300 of them are iron reviews,
okay,
roughly.
Okay. How many shanks? That's a bold question.
Oh, wow. I actually shanked. I tested a new, what club was it recently? I tested a new wedge and I hit a real shank.
Real?
It didn't make the edit.
No, they typically don't.
But yeah, but on the close-up of the club after testing, there was a real hosel rocket in there.
Right.
I tried to claim it wasn't me.
Did you ever play Europe Challenge Tour, and what's it like for an American going that route, Little Brooks Koepka?
I didn't play. That is a little bit. What?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know what that is. I don't know what European Challenge Tour is. I'm assuming it's web.com tour.
Who's it from?
Tricky Nick 32.
Ah, right. Okay. I get
yeah. He's relating Brooks's history.
I didn't do well. His brother's doing the same at the moment. Chase.
Oh, okay.
Chase Koepka is going the same route. So he's doing
Brooks Koepka means Chase.
Chase. Yeah. Got so it. He's probably doing that. So I didn't. I've not played EuroPro. I've not played Challenge Tour. Mm. I know it's freaking hard.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like web.com tour.
Moving on.
But you're probably harder.
Considering the access he has to pretty much any piece of equipment on the market, how does Rick resist the temptation to chop and change his equipment all the time? Well, you do.
I used to.
You used to?
I used to change an obscene amount. But then the kind of novelty wore off.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so you just stopped caring.
Just because it wasn't helping me and, you know, it's all well and good having shiny clubs.
Yeah.
So I changed my driver a lot and I changed my wedges.
You're rocking a ping right now.
Ping. Interesting. But I can change.
Ping's deep, huh?
Ping's good.
Yeah.
Ping's really good. For me, I like the Rogue. I like the ping.
Yeah.
So I'll switch between those two.
Yeah.
I like them zoom.
What's your club head speed on the driver?
110.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're maximizing your angles because it doesn't sound like 110. It sounds like 125. The way the ball comes off that club face.
It's pretty hot.
I heard it and I was impressive.
It's actually an illegal driver.
I was impressed. Why is it illegal?
I'm joking.
Oh, Teflon?
Yeah. So I think I used to swap a change a lot, but I've had my irons in my bag for ages. I've had my putter in my bag for ages. I've had a 2-iron. That's new, actually.
Right.
I do still swap and change quite a bit.
I love it. You're a tweaker. This is a good question. How much does your testing setup bay cost?
Wow.
From scratch, I'm in love with it. That's a good question.
40 grand?
40K pounds.
Yes.
$60K. What random chance event, I think we know this. What random or chance event has made the most impact ultimately in your life today?
I do not.
Maybe I don't know it.
So ask the question again.
What random or chance event or encounter has ultimately made the biggest impact in your life today?
What do you think is?
Well, I thought it was losing the tournament.
All right. Yeah, it could be. That's good one. The random chance event is my mum picking up golf.
Huh.
I mean, that is so random. Honestly, it really is because she never had a background in golf. Like it was, she was with a fella and he played golf, got her into it. I wasn't bothered, and I think that's so random. I would have never got into golf.
Never.
Ever.
You don't know that, but
no, I wouldn't have. It just wasn't in my. It wasn't even close to being. I know you picked it up later in life, but you had relatives,
right?
You had family members. I didn't have family members. I didn't know golfers. Where I grew up was not a golf
kind of gangster
destination. It was football, soccer,
football.
That's what I played.
London is a bit more golfy. Scotland is a bit more golfy.
Scotland, 100%. So you, right. When your man Stuart,
yeah,
when you knew he was Scottish, you went to play golf. There's a decent chance he plays golf.
Manchester, nah.
No. Southport, yeah, maybe. So right. Where like Birkdale is. But honestly, not that it's the ghetto.
Right.
It's very kind of middle class, industrial, working man. It's not a golf destination. So honestly, if my mum didn't pick it up, God knows what I'd be doing. I think I'd be an electrician. Seriously.
Someone said, is he messy? I don't think you are. I think you're pretty fucking organized.
Guy thinks I'm messy.
Messy, but in an organized way.
My wife would say I'm tremendously messy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a mess. Someone saw the video of my hotel room and they said, is he messy?
This is not my help.
When I get to a hotel room, I just need to explode.
I can see that.
What was your best round ever?
I can see that. I can see that. Best round ever was a 68, so 4-under.
Solid.
Nothing ridiculously good.
All right, we're going to zip through these. Favorite video ever to film?
Oh, that's a great question. What is my favorite video?
Maybe it was teeing it up with the coolest guy in golf.
Maybe.
That was pretty... No.
I played with Dude Perfect. That's pretty cool.
Oh, they're good.
Tyler and Cody.
They're good guys.
But that wasn't the coolest video to make because it was actually quite stressful.
Yeah, they are.
I can't think.
Okay, no problem. Where do you see the next few years of golf on YouTube going? More towards instructional content or course vlogs or equipment reviews? I think this is a general question, not just for you.
I think, and this is where I'm going to move it, I'm going to move it to a place that you don't even know you were expecting.
Well.
So it's none of those three.
I just got frightened, actually, when you said that. I don't know.
So there'll be content out there that you didn't know
Are you going to try for open qualification next year?
No. I didn't do it this year, and I think I'm done.
Yeah. when did you, no, you answered this. Okay. Answered that. Okay. Rick has played a lot of well-known golf, played a lot of well-known golf celebs and non-golf celebs, both in and off camera. Whoa. Which was the most gratifying win or the most painful loss? Same question for me, Eric. Well, I don't really do that, but thanks. Love your pod. Okay. Ta-da.
The best win.
That's a tough question.
Yeah, it is. The worst loss, right? I played against Danny Willett. So Masters champ.
Yeah.
In the year when he was Masters champ.
Whoa.
In Abu Dhabi. And I did a three-hole challenge with him. And we tied with him the first two holes. And I was coming down the last, right? Crushed a drive. He crushed a drive. He pulled his second shot way left, nearly in the grandstand, right?
Uh-huh.
And I hit this unbelievable 3-wood just front of the green, right? Chipping's not my strength. I was having a tight lie, crapping myself, right? he was in the jungle by the grandstand dead, right? So I'm thinking, I've won this.
Yeah.
I freaking won the
up
Masters
and down,
champ.
Even a two-putt.
Even I could chip in two-putt, right?
Yeah.
I've won this. He's never getting up and down. Never in a million freaking years.
Right.
He might make the chip and two-putt. He played this shot out of the rough. That I'm still to this day, I was like, what the freaking hell? And he stiffed it to about 6 foot, and I'm thinking, holy crap, this has made my chip a ridiculously ton harder.
Right.
And I managed to make contact with the chip. We had loads of people watching. I managed to make contact. And I chipped it up to 8 foot, just outside him.
Right.
Oh, no, my bad. I was inside him. He put first hold it for birdie. I had to hold it to halve the match and just... bottled it. But it was like, from where I felt I had him up against the ropes, Eric.
Yeah.
I had the Masters champion. Yeah. I was saying, give me that green jacket. You don't deserve that. I want that green jacket.
It's mine now.
And suddenly he just smashed me to the side.
You tried to say, remember that movie with Tom Hanks? Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
No.
Their short games are unbelievable.
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 I probably don't know that many wins. I've probably not had that many wins, but that was my heartbreaking loss.
I think this is a good question to end on. Would you rather guaranteed hole in one, career hole in one, or never three putt?
What do you mean guarantee a career hole in one?
I don't actually know what that means.
So about a hole in one.
I think it means guaranteed career hole in one. I don't understand what that means.
Well, I've had that.
You've had that.
So having another one would be nice, but it's not the... We've done the hole-in-one club, right?
Right.
You've done the hole-in-one
club?
Yeah,
I am. So we're in there. Club, yeah.
So never three-putting again. Because once you've done one, does it matter if you've done two?
My
guy's done two, and he never shuts up about it, but... There's no two hole-in-one clubs.
Yeah.
It's just a hole-in-one club.
No, you would want, like, a hole-in-one and a par four.
Correct.
That would be more impressive.
And I told you that story when I saw one at North Berwick.
That was good. We don't need to go into that. But actually, having a hole-in-one and a par four is a bit harder to explain. Somebody like, if you had a hole-in-one, but it was on a par four. People would be like, I don't believe you. That's weird.
Yeah,
you'd have to explain. Why are you so weird?
Yeah.
Just go on to a par three and have a hole-in-one.
Just be a normal hole-in-one, please. Yeah, but never three-put again would be great.
I mean, I can peek through here a little more. I feel like we do need to go shoot some stuff today.
Of course.
I mean, there are just so many questions. So many good questions. A lot of them we've already talked about. Which videos have you seen from other golf YouTubers and wished you had thought of first? That's a good question.
That's a good one. I think what I love is anything that's slightly out of the box, so anything that's new, that's fresh. That's like, you know, I wish I'd come up with a venture in golf.
Solid. So do I.
Because I remember when I can't remember which episode I stumbled across first, but I was like, holy smoke, what the hell? What the hell is this? Because, you know, I was in that world. I was in the YouTube world, and I was looking. I was, you know, I search YouTube a lot, and I check what's going on.
Right.
And suddenly, I was like, "What the hell is this stuff?
Who the fuck is this?
Why
guy?
Have I never seen this before?" Right. Because it was produced way better.
Right.
It was presented way better.
Yeah.
You were showing things that I'd not seen before.
Right.
In a different way. I was like, "Man, this is awesome! Like, this is really cool." I was. I know
I'm smiling so big right now, man.
I'm on your podcast, and but I was like, I'm a fan straight away.
Right.
I'm like, I'm in. I'm invested. I am watching every video, and I genuinely look forward to every video that comes out. I can't wait for season 3, definitely.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And then I must admit, I think you've probably got me into podcasts.
Really?
I've never been a podcaster.
Yeah.
Like, I've never listened to them that often. I've never really. I have a decent commute to where I coach and where I film. And I was like, you know what? I could do with getting involved in podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And you, I think you were the first person I subscribed to.
Amazing.
And so it's like, I think what you're doing and what potentially you've got in the lineup is exciting.
Right.
So it's not about what I think of first, because I admire it. I don't need to copy it. I don't need to try and do it, because it's not me. It's not, I don't do the travel side of things, but what you do in the travel space is class.
Right.
It's really good.
Thank you. That's a huge compliment, man.
No, it is. It's really cool.
Do you see yourself starting a podcast?
I don't know. Seems easy.
I think you could. It seems easy.
Seems pretty relaxed.
I think you could. I think it could be really beneficial.
I don't think I've got quite the voice that you have, though.
What are you talking? Like the my vocal?
Yeah, the radio.
You've got it. Guy? Obviously, guy's going to say yes.
He has to.
I think you've got it, dude. He's
contracted to say yes.
Yeah, he's contractually obligated
to answer. Do you
think
we should do a podcast?
I think so.
I think you could do a really cool podcast. I think you could.
Would you be a guest on mine?
Absolutely. I think one
should
of the
you
things.
Should film it right now?
Yeah, just use this.
So, let me just do an intro. Hi, welcome down to the Rick Shields podcast with my guest today, Eric Anders Lang.
Welcome down. The is that what you man. Say?
It's almost like I have a bit of an intro. It's like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
I've kind of gone away from it a little bit because it was doing my head in as well. Hey, guys, welcome down to... I was like, no, I need to change that.
Right.
So now it's like I talk about what the video is.
Right.
And then I come in because it's not about me.
Right.
It's about the video, about the content. I'm just hosting that content.
Right.
Granted, I've made it, I've produced it, I've edited it, but I'm just hosting it.
Yeah, it couldn't be more your baby.
But I'm just the host of that show.
Right.
And that's kind of my content coming forward. I'm coming up with ideas that are interesting, that are fresh, that are new, that are still servicing my current, subscriber base.
Yeah.
But also bringing in new people, bringing in golfers who might not have, maybe even non-golfers.
Yeah.
Into that space.
I think you could have a podcast just dedicated to like checking in with Rick, like, a little bit
ones.
About like, what do you do in the morning?
Yeah.
Just keep it real basic. People like you, obviously. That's a given.
I don't think I share enough of me.
Yeah, I think this is a good way to do it, because the podcast is a really, for me, I've learned so much about storytelling, and also it's been a great release of like, because making video is hard.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's like, it's not just like, everyone thinks Casey Neistat,
that
guy
so
works
good.
Hard.
He has the title, work harder.
Yeah. He is
the hardest worker.
That's his whole thing. And so when I watch his videos, I get tired.
Yeah.
I get tired. I'm like, holy God,
because
you put the camera
watching
everywhere.
It, you're watching it as a creator.
Yeah.
I think watching it as a fan, you'd just be like, oh, that can't be that hard.
And so that's why I like the podcast, is because it's just like a notebook.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could just spend time, going through a lot of what I'm sure are similar questions to what I just read, outline some other type of,
It'd be a good
tips.
Way to tell, it, to be fair, because I don't have a massive avenue to tell people what's coming up.
Yeah.
So I'll often film something, wait for it, shout about it when I film it.
Yeah.
Shout about it when I release it. But the middle ground is kind of a bit lost. I love a platform to be able to go, this is happening. This is in edit. It's getting close. You got to watch it.
Well, also, if you look at what we did with teeing it up, right? Like we filmed a show that's ultimately going to be under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We talked about so many things.
Yeah.
We have talked about so many interesting things in the time since we've been together for now a day.
It's actually annoying because we've we've chatted about a lot of stuff in really interesting off camera and off podcast. We just need to be mic'd from the moment we got off the plane.
That would be ideal.
We should have just been mic'd. Or you wouldn't want it to visit us to the toilet, but
when you do,
or the restroom.
You never know. A lot of great things happen in the bathroom. But you know, you could anyway, whatever. Whatever you need, I think it'd be successful.
Well, thank you.
I don't
want you to feel like I'm stepping on your toes.
What? No.
What do you call your show?
I call my show the Eric Lang Show. So if you called it that, it'd be strange.
Yeah, that would be odd.
You call it Rick Shields Show.
Nice.
I think you should call it Monday Morning with Shieldsy.
Oh. I think the problem is Monday morning I have screaming kids in the background.
But you recorded Sunday night. No one knows that, but you recorded
jumping
Sunday.
Jumping on my jumping on my neck.
And this is gonna probably come out in a week or two.
Okay.
Anything you wanna leave the listeners with or myself?
Yourself, keep up the great work. You're smashing it. Seriously. I think the podcast is awesome. I think the content you're making is phenomenal. If you are listening to this from my audience, because I'm going to massively share this on my social, make sure you subscribe to Eric's podcast and his YouTube.
You do what I don't do. I'm not good at that.
You got to do it.
You're just, that's what I really admire that about you. You're just like, no, this is my fucking job. I'm going to tell you what to do. You fucking subscribe.
You best have to subscribe.
You check out Eric. You follow him. I'm going to do you.
Yeah, you need
everyone
to.
Go check out Rick Shields at Rick Shields PGA, S-H-I-E-L-S PGA.
Nice.
Check him out. Follow him. Show him some love and tell him. And then, is that good?
And then say you come in from Eric Lang.
Say you come from Eric Lang. And discount code Garmin at, no, that Garmin rangefinder. Can we just talk about that?
Of course we can.
Are you
contractually obliged to do so? So we've not announced it yet, but yeah. Oh, how good was that?
That was pretty good.
So I've
I'm a gearhead.
Become an ambassador for Garmin, and the new rangefinder was just off the
you
scale.
You look through the rangefinder and all of a sudden you see There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, it was so, I mean, it was just awesome. Anyway, more information on that coming up.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're new to Eric's show, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave. Do you leave a review on podcasts?
Yeah. Leave comments on iTunes. Okay. You can rate it. Nice. That's super cool if you do that, yeah, obviously. Get involved.
Tell people to.
Yeah. Guys, get involved.
You best go and write it.
Do it. Do it, people. Don't be just a freeloading douchebag.
And when I get my podcasts coming up, I want you on the show.
I can't wait.
We'll do it in LA.
I can't wait. We'll do it in LA. That'll be great.
Course. Yeah, we can't.
It'll be sunny.
We'll play some golf.
I love it.
We're going to play some golf today, which I'm looking forward to because the weather's amazing.
Yeah, it's perfect weather out there.
And we don't have to worry about scoring. Then we're going to.
I'm going to be filming, so you'll have the day off.
Oh, it's going to be easy. Oh, easy streak.
Goodness.
No, but thanks for having me as a guest. It's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to this coming out and more podcasts in the future. You got more guests lined up?
I'm going to go to the WGC pretty soon.
Nice.
Apparently, Justin Thomas is going to be on.
The people know.
But that could not come through. That could fall through.
Did podcast know this already?
I think I mentioned it. Well, definitely Charlie Hoffman.
Nice.
A handful of others. And yeah, Justin Thomas, I heard, was a very likely...
How cool is that?
How crazy is that?
If you put him on straight after me, that I think that'd be fine. Awesome.
Thank you for coming out, Rick.
Thanks so much.
I really love hearing about your story and everything.
No, it's been class. Thanks.
Hardest working man in golf. What's your title? Most downloaded man in golf?
I probably most watched.
Most watched man in golf.
Most watched.
I love it.
Golf presenter.
I would love to put a GoPro on your head and just watch you walk through a PGA Tour event. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Just go live on your head.
You get some weird people wanting pictures and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, all right, boy.
Awesome. Let's go and play some golf.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Rick.
See you soon.
Check Rick out. All the information is in the comments below. And bye.